My name is Esteban. I'm from Ecuador. If you don't know how to call people from Ecuador, we're called Ecuadorables.
That was Esteban Tuma. He's a comic based in Madison, and he is here with us now. Esteban, tell me what you do for a day job.
My main thing is I'm a teacher.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about teaching. What do you tell your parents when they ask you what you do?
I do say that I teach.
Okay.
That was kind of like what brought me into doing comedy, because, you know, when you get into teaching, you always think like, oh, I'm going to be doing this like very noble profession, which it is. But then you stand in front of a class and you realize, oh, no, I just really like the attention, you know, just like people looking at me. And
what do you teach?
I teach Espanol. Yes.
Okay.
I also teach a couple of classes, literature classes, but mainly I mainly work with the world languages department at Madison College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you use elements of comedy when you're trying to get a certain concept across to your students at school?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It works very similarly in the sense that whenever, you know, we go into a specific topic, I would make the same jokes or I would repeat the same things. Mm. And some of these things are horrible jokes. Like I tell my students, whenever I give them a pop quiz, I tell them, this pop quiz is so specific, it's a Fanta quiz. And nobody... And nobody laughs. That is the most generous laugh I had for that joke.
That's the kind of humor that I love. Halima will tell you that I am, like, constantly making puns and dad jokes.
So many puns. Like, I don't know how much longer we can keep working together.
So I'm all on board for that.
Well, you said what brought you to the U.S. was your job.
Well, that's a yes and no.
Okay.
So what brought me to Madison was the job. What brought me to the U.S. was this American girl that has now become my wife.
First thing I'll tell you is I don't believe in marriage. I don't. I feel it's a phony institution. My wife... she agrees. She actually says that marriage eliminates your ability to state your own opinions. And I have to agree. I have to agree. She's here.
We started living together in Ecuador. She was in Ecuador. And then we decided to apply for a master's degree. And we got into the same school. So we came to the United States. Of course, in the middle of that, we got married in Las Vegas. You know, weird road trip we took. But
is that kind of a spur of the moment thing?
It kind of was, because we didn't want to get married. Like, we were like,
oh, we don't need a piece of paper to love each other and be together. And the U.S. government was like, yeah. You do. So we were like, okay, U.S. government. We got married.
Well, you talk a lot about your immigration status in your comedy.
I do.
Has that become more or less funny since we elected a new president?
Oh, my God. I think both, in a way. Some of the jokes I do work a lot better now.
Sometimes you just want to be alone. Sometimes there's drama. Sometimes you wish you could just stay away for 3 months or something. But then, you know, you get home and you're tired. But then you look at her in her eyes. You look at this woman, this other human being, and you think, you are the only reason why I have a green card. So you make it work.
But I also used to have several jokes about illegal immigrants and things like that that people are a lot more sensitive to. And so I used to have this joke about having an idea for a new reality TV show where a beautiful bachelorette has to choose between 10 illegal immigrants. And those that don't get picked, deported. And so, like, it used to crash. And, you know, it's kind of like it's like a dark joke. And of course, I would tell it carefully, But now, like, people refuse to laugh to that joke with good reason. You know, it's not a good time for making those jokes. And that's the thing about comedy, is that it responds to the social tensions and the social environment. So it's as a comic, it's very interesting to measure those things and to see where society's heading.
So your jokes took me on a walk down memory lane, because I grew up in a predominantly Muslim community outside of Chicago. So right outside 9/11, every brown-skinned person's favorite joke was about the TSA and airport security. And you have a joke about this.
Right.
I mean, it's been a while since 9/11, but how do people respond to those jokes about the TSA and going through what you call the YMCA machine?
Last time I flew back home, it happened. I was going through the YMCA machine, and the TSA agent's like, "Sir, I believe we have found something potentially dangerous in your groin area." I was like, "I know." My wife here knows how to activate it. She jumps in and says, "Yeah, it goes off in under a minute."
They still respond very well, because I feel people know how difficult it is. And even people that go through security lines very easily can also relate to how absurd it is.
And you talk a lot about just your ethnic background, too. Like, what is it like to share that with people?
It's fun, because, as I was saying before, it's interesting that you have a moral compass in how society responds to certain things. So the stand-up for me is not only like me telling people certain things about myself, but also by the way they react, I learn a lot about other people, about the society.
I'm half Hispanic, half Palestinian, so, you know, I get premier platinum access to all major U.S. airport basements. As soon as they see my passport, they're right this way, sir.
It's interesting to gauge that reaction, and feeling like sometimes when I mention something about race, just feeling the room kind of like going back and saying like, "Oh, what is he going to say?" Mm.
Do you have any jokes that you can share with us right now?
Why did you look at me before you said that?
I don't know, because I had a feeling.
You totally side-eyed me before you asked that question.
Because I just felt like you were going to be the first person to jump on that.
Me?
Yeah.
You want to hear jokes from me? I don't know. Maybe, okay, so... I've been thinking about superheroes and how ridiculous it seems that a person gets powers from a radioactive spider or something, because like the spider is the weakest, is like the worst kind of animal to get powers, you know. I like to see like a tiger.
Yeah, or a cheetah.
Right, a cheetah, radioactive cheetah or something, you know, like a radioactive bear. So I'm thinking like, it would be amazing to have a bear that is bitten by a radioactive man. So that would be great. And like, you know, by day he's just a regular bear, but by night, you know, he hates his dad or something. Or you know, his superpowers are opposable thumbs and like depression. I don't know.
I think we're onto something here.
Yeah.
Dealing with mortality.
Yeah. On that note, Esteban Tuma, thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely.
Well, Chris, were you entertained?
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
That did not sound convincing. But you have been listening to a show called Entertain Us, and I am Halima Shah.
And I'm Chris Molina. Was that better?
Yes. I mean, I guess. And as hosts, we were the ones doing all the talking, but a few others were involved in the entertainment, and we're very hashtag blessed for that.
We sure are. Brad Kohlberg seemed to be the guy who was the most stressed out about the whole thing, calling meetings, scribbling notes, and just generally hovering, but in a good way.
Yeah, he was also the one turning all the knobs and making sure everything fits into an hour, minus news breaks, underwriters, station IDs, and Carl Christensen did things too, right?
He did some things, and Adam Friedrich did some stuff too, but really, this show is about entertaining you. too. So thanks for listening.
Entertain Us is a production of WPR Next. For more, visit us at wpr.org/next. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.